This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 213. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we'll be continuing our previews of the FEI World Equestrian Games this fall, when we hear from Boyd Martin, who's named with Christine Turner's 11-year-old Turkana gelding, Zetterlig, and Emma Ford, who is groomed for Philip Dutton's 10-year-old Zangas hired gelding, Z. But we begin with the winners of the classic three-day event divisions at Rebecca Farm recently. We wanted to get the perspective of a professional and an amateur about preparing for the long format. So we're going to be joined shortly by Heather Morris, who won the training three-day event, after we hear from Jean Carling, who won the novice three-day event. Jean, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you as well.
That must have been quite a highlight of your eventing career, I would imagine, to win
this. Yes, it was actually. I did a novice 3 day back in 2013 with a lovely little Irish sport horse, and came in third at Rebecca. But sadly, he developed navicular issues, and I needed to retire him. So, and then my father was ill, and there were some delays in getting another horse, and I got this lovely another Irish sport horse, although he's mostly warm blood, and as a 5-year-old, and sort of got to know him and started to compete him, and he's a lot of fun, absolutely a lot of fun.
So you've had him, what, a couple of years now?
I've had him 2 years, and yeah, he's lovely. I'm pretty sure we're going to move up to training this year. I picked up this sport in my 50s, so my aspirations are possibly a training 3 day, and that's it. I don't need to do prelim.
Well, so. I want to talk about your preparation for the classic format and why you're drawn to that. But let's just go back a little bit, step back, if we may, and get an idea of, you know, where eventing fits into your life then, Jean. Obviously, you're an amateur, so tell us what you do for a living and you know, how you fit in your eventing.
Well, fortunately, I'm retired now, but I did begin eventing when I was still working. I actually was a commercial photographer, but thankfully then my schedule was my own. And I lived in Woodside, which is right next to a venue, the Woodside Horse Park. And I had a little Arab. I was given an Arab in my late 40s, returning to riding after I was a kid and had that 30-year gap that so many women have. And I would ride over there and watch events. And I thought, this looks like a lot of fun. So the Arab was not made for eventing. I love him to pieces. And he's 28 and I still have him. But I really needed to get a horse that was bred for that sport. So I got a young Irish sport horse who was, I think, 6 going 7, but had never evented. So we learned the sport together, and he was terrific. He was just a lot of fun. But as I said, he got the navicular issue. But I worked the shows in around the weekends, and again, being self-employed, fortunately, had that option. So that's how I started, and then you kind of get sucked in. It's just so such a thrill. Cross country is absolutely a blast, and I've just enjoyed the sport. And my sister, I kind of got her back into riding and then into the sport, so she also shows. So it's been a lot of fun all the way around.
So why eventing then? What was it about eventing? Did you have a taste of it when you were younger, Jean, and you wanted to come back into it? How did you get hooked?
I was hooked on horses as a kid. Woodside is a very horsey town, and my poor mother and father had no idea about horses, but they happened to move to a horse town. So two little girls wanted horses. And fortunately, we had ended up with a horse property. So he didn't really have a choice, my poor dad, about getting us a horse. But we love to jump. Kids are brave, you know, they're fearless, actually. And so we jumped the horse over hay bales, whatever we could get our hands on. And there was a place called the Playpen years and years ago in Woodside. It was kind of like a mini horse park for free. Nobody had to sign any releases or pay any money. It was so unusual. It was just a large property where the hounds, the Los Altos hounds, were kept. And So we played there and jumped, and so that was part of my history. And I love eventing because of the three different disciplines. They're so different. Cross country and stadium are so different, even though they're both jumping phases. And of course, dressage is an entirely another thing. And that's what I find very attractive about it. Plus, honestly, the people are so supportive and friendly, and it's just a wonderful community. It's just when people wish you a good ride that you don't know, or give you the minute markers that are in your division and not even from your barn. It's just a terrific community, and that's what I appreciate so much.
Clearly, you're embracing all three disciplines of the sport. But what was it about the classic format that appealed to you?
I guess because I know I'll never do a one star. And I think watching the jogs and the atmosphere around a one star just seemed interesting, and I knew I'd never go to that level. and reading about the large format, I just found it fascinating. I decided to make that my goal, at least, at the time there weren't very many novice 3 days in this area. So I was looking at a training 3 day eventually, and I still would like to, achieve that level, but, it just seemed interesting and very good for the horse. It makes them more forward on cross country, which I saw in my own horses. I think it's just an interesting challenge to meet and goal to set. So that's what attracted me to the long format.
And how did you educate yourself and prepare then for preparing your horse for the long format in terms of fitness and so on? Jeannie, where did you go for that advice?
Well, I'm stabled at Chocolate Horse Farm, and there are two fantastic trainers there. Andrea Pfeiffer is the main trainer, and Amber Levine is a trainer rider. And Amber is an expert in conditioning. She rides at the 3 and 4 star level, so she knows how much to condition a horse. In fact, two of us from the barn competed in the novice 3 day, and we're in the ribbons, so she really helped the two of us get ready, and specifically said, let's not get these young horses, they're both 7, too fit, so that you don't have complete rockets out there. And that was a very good call. So she told us to, in the month before, we both do 3 to 5 lessons a week. I ride my horse 5 to 6 times a week anyway, so he's pretty fit. But we added trot sets, weekly trot sets, and a once a week gallop set. So we were perfectly fit. In fact, we were released from the 10-minute box pretty early, in the sense that he was fine. We did have to wait our 10 minutes, but both horses were very, very conditioned, well conditioned, but not over conditioned, so they were out of control, which is a positive aspect. So we got very good guidance from both of our trainers, really.
So when you arrived in Rebecca Farm, then going into the competition, were you confident that you had that level of conditioning that you needed for this level? Talk us through a little bit about that. I mean, getting the horse absolutely sweet for that moment and spot on, it takes a little bit of preparation, as we know, for the long format. Talk about that and how it played out during the competition for you.
I was very confident because, as I said, Andrea has had, she's been in the business for 20 plus years, and she's had many of her students do the novice and 3 day. So she's very well informed. And Amber, as I said, rides at the upper level. So I felt very confident in my preparation because of their experience. So when I got there, and my horse is very forward on cross country anyway. So I knew that if anything, he might be a little strong. So when I walked the course, I saw a couple of areas where if he was very strong, I could circle without penalty. And I ended up doing that, actually, in front of a couple of fences, and knew that I'd have plenty of time. And I actually came in, I think, only 7 seconds past the speed fall time. So we really, he didn't take off. He didn't, like, grab the bit and run or anything, but he's got a horse. He's not a very big horse. He's 16.1 something, but he's got a very open stride. So he covers a lot of ground quickly, and he's super game. He's very bold. So sometimes, and I'm pretty fit as a 63-year-old, but sometimes I have trouble getting into his mind that I do have some opinions as well. And so I did, just rather than have a fight, I just decided to circle him in front of a couple of fences. And he just was fantastic. He's so much fun. He's just a real joy to ride. So I did feel very confident that he would be fit and would be able to take the challenge. But we were also careful about his grain and good feed and the condition of his feet. And I mean, Chocolate Horse has just an excellent team of stable management folks, and your horse is just supervised really, really well. So we didn't have a single issue come up. It was just a really smooth sailing, honestly.
But then, of course, you had the journey to contend with. You've done it before with him.
Yes. And fortunately, this is a horse that is very independent. He doesn't, as long as you've got hay in the trailer, he's just happy as a clam. So he doesn't, he's just not a nervous traveler. He's not, I'm really grateful for that, because I know that for some horses, it's very stressful. But I do travel with Ulster Guard. I mean, I give him a day or two before we leave and all during the show, just to make sure that there's no bad ramifications from our travel. But he's a really easy horse in so many ways. And part of it is just his attitude. He's deceptively calm, so that when you think you don't need the lunge, you really might reconsider, because he's still pretty young. And he does, like you said, get very, very, very strong on cross country. He just loves it so much. It's really a joy to see him out there, just opening up his gate and gobbling up the fences.
So being strong is fine going cross country, but the calmness does come in when you need it for dressage, does it?
Yes, it does. He really tries, hard. And he can get a little tense in his neck on occasion, but any errors that I had in my dressage test were mine. I wasn't used to 15-meter circles, so I made some at 17 and 18, and the judge was very kind. She said, don't give away points. but no, he really is a trier, and his gaits are really comfortable and very fluid. He's not fancy, which is good for me as an amateur. I don't know if I could sit on a super fancy horse, but he's solid and rhythmic and comfortable and smooth. And so he generally does pretty well in dressage if I don't mess up.
And he's been very consistent for you, hasn't he? I mean, he's been a winner. You've got scores there under the under 30s, so you've and very consistent show jumping too. So that must give you great confidence going in, when you're obviously going into something like Rebecca Farm at this level. It is a big deal. It's a big win for you. But you must have a horse underneath you that fills you with confidence now that you know him.
Yeah, and it's taken a while. I think the thing about professionals, they get to know a horse and can communicate directly so quickly. You put a professional, a good professional on a horse, and they seem to just figure each other out right away. With an amateur, it's a lot slower, at least in my case. And so it's taken a while to get to know him and for him to trust me and get to know me, I suppose. And so, I think the partnership that we're developing is just getting stronger and stronger. I'm excited. We're going to go to the AEC's American Eventing Championships in a couple of weeks. I don't really expect to win. I want to do my best. Obviously, that's been my dad's credo, which is carried through the family. Just do your best. But it's a once in a lifetime experience for me because they've never been this close to the West Coast before. So they're in Colorado, which is a doable drive. I can't drive to Tryon or Lamplight or, you know, some of these locations that are 3-4 day drives or longer. So, that will be a 2-day drive just like Rebecca. And it'll be an experience. It's kind of, like I said, a once in a lifetime because after Colorado, they moved back to Kentucky and that's just too far. And we're qualified, so it's just it'll be just a fun week with a lot of eventing friends out there, and probably some new ones too.
And you will go to it, I would imagine, filled with confidence on the back of this win there. And are you hooked in terms of doing more of the long format? Will this happen again next year?
I would love to. In fact, I hope to move up to training in October at Woodside this in a couple of months. And if all goes well, I'd love to return to Rebecca and do the training 3-day. I love Rebecca Farm. I told my sister 1 year if she was ready to go, and I didn't have a horse, I'd trailer her and bring my Arab and just trail ride. I mean, it's just such a lovely place and such a fun venue. So if I'm not ready, if I need to do more trainings next year and go the following year, I mean, I just plan to have that on my schedule. That's my goal, my lifetime goal for riding is to do a training 3-day at Rebecca. So I hope to make that happen. And this horse is young, so I have some time. I'm not young, but he is. So, you know, there is a little bit of a time clock there, I suppose. But as long as I stay fit, I feel like I can complete this with no problem.
Absolutely. If Mark Todd can, then you can.
Exactly. And if Mary King can come in first and second a couple of years ago at age 50 at Rolex, then then I suppose I can. So it's just a lovely sport. I hope to do it as long as I can.
Wonderful. Well, again, congratulations on winning there, Rebecca Farm, and the best of luck at the AECs, Jean. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Oh, happy to, Chris, and thank you.
And joining me now is Heather Morris, who won the training 3-day event with Von Zipper. Congratulations on your win there, or both wins, in fact, Heather. Thank you for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
That was quite the weekend, wasn't it, for your team and the whole family?
Yeah, it really was.
But we want to talk specifically about your classic format and getting fit for the classic format. Now, why a professional would continue to do the classic format, we want to talk a little bit about that. But we should also mention that you won with Charlie Tango, the 2-star at Rebecca Farm, which is why you must have had a particularly big smile on your face at the end of the day.
Yeah, he was really good.
So let's go back to, well, it was Von Zipper that you won the training 3-day with. Now, at what point did you decide you were going to do this long format, and when did you actually start upping your fitness for it, or his fitness, I would say?
Right. I had just purchased him actually in April or May-ish. And so he had just done some, he had come over from England, he had done some 100s over there. So we hadn't actually done prelim yet. And so I did 2 trainings here with him. And I just felt like before I moved him up to prelim that the classic format training 3-day would be a perfect test to see where he really was at in his, you know, if he was ready to move up to prelim or not. And so that's why I decided to take him there. And so it's really started upping his fitness actually probably a month or so before going, just doing more trotting, more hill work, and then, you know, just a couple gallops with him to be ready for the steeplechase and whatnot. So he actually didn't do too much, mostly just more hacking and whatnot that we really upped. But I felt like he really took it on well. He was super fun, and the course was exactly the perfect prep for really wanting to move up to prelim. There were prelim questions, prelim jumps on there incorporated with into the training 3 day. So it was a really, really good test for him.
Now, I don't want to date you, Heather, but what is your previous experience with the long format before it was removed from the international calendar?
Right. Well, I actually did Kentucky the last year that it was a long format in 2004. I did the last final one there with my old advanced horse Rebel. And then I had actually done the training 3 day with Charlie Tango when he was a 5 year old. He actually won that. And then I also took Get Rowdy and he was second. And so I've actually done it with all my up and coming horses. And I really just feel that it's a good stepping stone and really just test if they're ready to move up to prelim or not.
So that's the whole purpose of it then, that you were using it as a transition for them.
I do. Yeah.
That's interesting. You were mentioning then the increased fitness work you were doing with him, but you didn't mention the fast work. You were doing more trot sets and endurance type, but did you actually increase the galloping?
Yeah, I did. I didn't do a ton with Von Zipper. I did, I think, two or three probably gallops. We have lots of hills out here, so I didn't actually do any sort of flat fast work. I did mostly, you know, cantering up our gallop hills that we, you know, that we use for any of the upper level horses. But they do go out and do long trot hacks. So he did that, just in sort of increasing the amount of work that he would do in a day.
And how did he respond to the steeplechase, and how was his recovery in the second roads and tracks?
Yeah, he was just a little bit confused. He's a very spooky horse, and so I was just a little bit worried with what he was going to think about the first jump. So I took that sort of a little bit slow and cautious and made sure he didn't sort of wheel around on me. But after we got over one and I sort of stepped on the gas a little bit, he was fabulous, and he recovered quite well.
And now, in terms of where this fits into your training, obviously it's clear that you're using it as a stepping stone, but what else do you value about the classic format, Heather?
The dressage, I mean, all three phases are actually quite challenging. You know, the dressage test, it incorporates more challenging movements. You're in the big ring. You have two judges. You have, you know, the questions that they ask in there are definitely more advanced. The show jumping was very difficult. There were very few clean rounds, but he is a very good jumper and found it quite easy. So I feel like it was just a good test for where he was, and feel like he's ready to move to prelim.
Well, of course, you had to make the trek to Rebecca Farm for that. Clearly worth your while this year. But would you do more, Heather, of the long format if there were more on the West Coast for you to use for as part of your program?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it obviously has to suit the horse and in what they're doing. Every time I've gone, it's been the perfect circumstance for a horse that is a young horse that is, you know, moving up. And so, yeah, I wish that there were more. I think it's great. I think especially the amateurs love doing it and have a great time doing it. So, yeah, I do wish that we could see more of them. But, you know, it's kind of a sign of the times right now. And I do know that it does. You know, the cost of it, obviously, is the biggest reason. There's so much into it, and you got to have the land to be able to do the tracks and whatnot. So I do know that it does take a huge financial part of, and property part of, and volunteers as well. So, but I've always loved doing them, and I find them just such a good time.
So what would you say it was that you took away from that performance with Von Zipper, because it was the classic format that you might not have taken away from, you know, with a CIC?
I don't think that if it, you know, if it was a CIC, like if he was doing a one star, you know, see, I just feel like it's the perfect for a horse that is, you know, a young horse, you're getting ready to move up. I feel like it really just shows, I feel like the training to prelim is just such a huge step. The difficulty is so much more that it really just shows if they're ready or not.
And so what would you say to riders, especially professionals like yourself, who are saying, well, I just don't have time to do that extra fitness work for the long format? What would be your response be?
Well, if they don't have time, then they don't want to put the time and the you know, the effort into wanting to do it, then, you know, obviously your horse isn't going to be prepared for it. But if you do have a young horse and you're trying to decide if they're ready to move up and you have a training 3-day that's available, then you know, I think it's very useful to be able to put in the extra time. I mean, I don't think that it takes a very much more effort to get a horse ready for a training 3-day as compared to like going to a 4-star or anything. You don't need that sort of fitness, but you do have to do a little bit more. You can't just sort of, you know, do your normal work. They do have to do some canters. They do have to be a little bit more fit. And so if somebody doesn't really have the time or want to do that, then, you know, then the horse isn't really going to be ready for a training 3-day.
So if you had an amateur coming to you and say, look, I want to try this, the long format, the classic format, Heather, what do I need to know? What should I be prepared to do to adjust to in my training schedule in order to be able to do that?
You just need more time in the saddle. You have to commit yourself to, you know, another hour a day at the barn and being able to hack out and do trot sets and do a canter. And that's what it takes to be able to do. If you want to do a training 3-day, it takes more time and getting your horses fit.
So do you miss this long format at the higher levels, Heather? Are you a great fan of it that you would like to be able to do a 4-star again at the long format?
You know, I'm really on the fence about it. I feel like at the beginning, everyone thought, oh, it's going to take away the fitness part of it. But as we've come to learn that it really doesn't, you have to do the same amount of fitness. And I found it so much fun, and it really is how our sport got started. And so, you know, I wish that there were more, you know, it was there still, but on the same hand, you're still having to do the same amount of fitness for a 4-star as you would if it was just roads and if the roads and tracks were there as well. So, you know, I mean, I think there's pros and cons to both of them.
But you get a kick out of going steeplechase speed, don't you?
Oh, who doesn't? The adrenaline rush is incredible. So yeah, just being able to do it. I know that the training 3-day isn't, you know, as fast as the 4-star, but you still get a little kick out of it. So
certainly do. Wonderful. All right. Well, it worked for you, Heather. And what next for this young horse then?
He's going to move up. He, you know, he answered all the questions and he was super fun. And he, you know, we have some things to work on. There were some questions out on the course that he found in particular, just jumping. He found it quite eye-opening to go water to waters. There were two water to waters there at Rebecca, and he was quite green there. And so I have just a little bit of homework to do there, but he's going to move up and do some prelims this fall.
And are you planning to go back next year to Rebecca Farm and take a horse for the long format?
Of course. He'll do the 1-star hopefully next year up there.
And you're in the meanwhile heading to AECs, but you know, we should tell everyone that you did have a bit of a setback last week when you threw your back out. So what's the status right now, Heather? Are you going to be able to get back in the tack?
Yeah, I did throw my back out and actually haven't been in the saddle for a week and a half now. But Charlie Tango is planning to go to AECs just in the intermediate. He's also had a bit of a confidence setback. So we've moved him down a level just for a bit, and he's actually going to do the whole fall at the intermediate 2-star level. But yeah, I luckily have Tammy here to ride him and get him ready for me. And I am just going to rest and hopefully be ready for AECs when we get there. I'm probably not going to ride him until I actually get to Colorado.
Well, the very best of luck. And there's plenty of people listening that feel for you with a back injury. It's no fun. So I hope you manage to turn it around and get back in the tack in time.
It really is.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Heather.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely feeling better, and hopefully it progresses. And so fingers crossed. And if not, you know, Tammy will be there and she'll ride him. But fingers crossed that I'm feeling better and can make it around that weekend.
Yes. Well, good luck, Heather. And thank you for taking the time to come on the program again. Congratulations on your wins, both of them, at Rebecca Farm. And yeah, good luck with that young horse.
Thank you.
And now I'm joined by Emma Ford, who is groomed for Philip Dutton's 10-year-old Zangerside Gelding Z, who is owned by Thomas Tierney, Simon Roosevelt, Suzanne Lacey, Caroline Moran, and Anne Jones. Emma has groomed at international level now for a number of years, covering many championships. And I spoke to Emma just last week. Never a day off for you, though, Emma, is it? You're probably in the barn getting ready for the next trip.
Yes. Tomorrow we head to Bromont in Canada to do the final mandatory outing. So I was mid-packing before I had to take the call.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking time to do this, because I know what a busy girl you are. But this is all routine stuff for you now. You've been doing it for so many years. We're not going to tell anybody how many years, but it's quite a few you've been doing this routine.
Yeah, one or two. I appreciate you not telling all my age.
But does it become so routine, or do you still keep lists?
Oh, I absolutely keep lists. I can't survive without my lists. And I mean, every horse is also a little bit different. So, you know, just having the list for each horse, you know, tack wise and stuff, it's absolute paramount. So, I've got a list on my iPhone, and I've got lists in my tack room, you know, on the trunks. Make sure it all gets in.
Right, and heaven forbid anyone who doesn't read your lists.
Yes, I have a hard time trusting anyone else to make sure stuff is in. But, you know, sometimes you have to entrust that other people are following what you've actually written down. So, but when it comes to the bigger competitions, I just, you know, it's just a lot easier to do it yourself. And then, you know, it's your fault if you forget something. So only you are to blame then.
Yeah, I learnt this once when a horse got left behind. It was supposed to be travelling into Europe from England with me, and I asked somebody else to load it, and they didn't. So I got almost to the ferry, and we were one horse short. So it's a hard lesson.
That's a hard one. I haven't quite done that one yet, and God forbid I do, but I've forgotten a girth or a bit, but...
Well, you've travelled extensively, obviously, Emma, now being a groom for Philip for so many years. Does it still get you excited going to the big one, knowing that, okay, you're going off to Bromont, the final mandatory outing, and then the next big one is a WEG or an Olympics? Let's talk about your preparation, your build-up for a major championship.
That's still what drives me, you know, preparing the horses for the bigger championships. Even though I am a proponent of trying to keep everything the same for the horses, management style and, you know, what they're doing at work and how many times you ice them or check on them or groom them, you know, I try not to go over the top because, you know, they don't necessarily enjoy that either. but, you know, you just... I don't know, every championship, it's always, well, are we going above and beyond, you know, to prepare as much as we can.
And it comes down to you, as you said, you have full responsibility for Philip's horses when you get to the championship. Will you have any help there, or will anyone come in for cross country day to help you?
So it's very much team effort. You just, you know, obviously the US supplies an abundance of staff, and you know, before cross country day, we all sit down and work out times and who can be where. And so, you know, if the other grooms aren't needing to take care of their horses, then we make sure they're in the call out area. And it tends to work out really well, and everybody helps each other out. So
you don't bring anyone extra from your barn, is what I was thinking.
No.
Okay.
No. To be honest, it's very difficult to even, have people have accreditation. So, if there is someone, obviously Evie will be there and the owners and stuff. But no, it's impossible to, bring an extra groom. You'd never get them actually onto the venue.
Well, because the different things about going to a WEG or an Olympic Games, of course, you only have the one horse, typically, one or two. I know you have a spare named, but let's assume you just have the one horse in Tryon. And that's a bit of a luxury for you, isn't it, really, just having a one horse at an event?
Yes, definitely. And it's actually what I probably enjoy the most, because that's when I that's my opportunity to almost really get to know the horses, even more so than what I do now. So obviously for Z, this is going to be his first big, deal for him. So just being able to, hopefully keep him stress-free and see how he handles it. And unfortunately, it's one of those things, until you go through the process, you don't know how they're going to handle it. So.
Right, but you have travelled overseas with him. I know he came from Europe, but you've been overseas with him travelling. What kind of a traveller is he?
He was actually really good. I did have another one of Philip's horses with me, and that definitely helped. And funny enough, the other horse I actually thought would be more nervous, and he actually remained really calm in that. And I think being together was really helpful. That was to Tattersalls in Ireland. And it did take the a lot, 2 days probably more to settle in than it did the Revelation horse, because the stalls were set up like yearling stalls, so they were all cement blocks and they couldn't see other horses very easily. And that definitely unsettled him. But overall, he was always quiet in quarantine. He was super quiet on the plane. And, as soon as they saw the grass, both of them were down and rolling. So they were happy to see green grass in the Irish landscape.
Well, this is going to be an easy trip for him then, relatively. What sort of personality is he in the barn? How would you characterize him?
He's actually a little bit of an internalizer. When we first got him, he really didn't have much of a personality. He would always just stand in the back of his stall. And really wasn't too interested in what was going on. But he's definitely come out of his shell a lot more in the last 18 months and, enjoys the attention. And he's one of those, if you're working on him for massage or something, he's very, he sort of lights up and tells you where he might need a little bit more work or less work. And he has an opinion about how he feels. but he loves, when he came over, we never used to be able to turn him out. He would just run in the paddock like crazy. So, and now he is the first one that goes out at night, because otherwise he's at the door banging, why am I out? So he's definitely come out of, come into his own being in our program, which is nice.
And how does that translate to the competition? What's he like when you actually get him to a venue, and going through those three phases? What's his highs and lows there? How does he change and react to the environment?
Yeah, he definitely knows which day is which, that's for sure. and to be honest, he's normally pretty good on the ground, but you get the tack on and then he's like, okay, now we're in business. And I'm sure a lot of people witnessed it. Rolex, Philip trying to, Kentucky, 3 days. Philip trying to get him into the start box. It was a bit of a, work between Richard Pickens and Philip to get him in, because he really enjoys that day and just gets so excited about it. So for me, it's very important, more so on the jump days, to keep him very quiet and very relaxed in his own mind, and not have, a lot of activity going on. So, but normally, as long as you can get him out of his stall and hand grazing, he is pretty well behaved, when he's not under saddle.
Does he unwind pretty easily from cross country, Yama?
It takes him a little while. I'm not going to lie. Normally, it can take two of us to walk him back sometimes. again, you know, being able to get him out the bustle of the cool out area is going to be very important for him to cool out well, you know. So depending on where, you know, what order he runs, hopefully it won't be too manic in there.
Right. So he just has to go to Bromont and run at Bromont this coming weekend. And then what happens? Will you be home until you have to go down to Tryon?
Yeah, he will be home. So far as I know, we're not going anywhere in between, not with him anyway. We do have one more event for some young horses in Virginia. But no, that'll be, you know, crunch time, keeping him with some bubble wrap on. you know, just doing those final gallops and getting him ready and prepared.
Well, you mentioned the bubble wrap because there really are anxious days, aren't they, leading up to an event when you know it, if, you know, all being well and the creek don't rise, you're going to be going to another championship, another team event with him in that, or any horse. And that is an anxious time, isn't it? Because anything, as we know, can happen with horses. So do you do anything? I know you don't literally wrap him in bubble wrap, but do you change any of his routine just to protect him anymore, or do you just let him be a horse and let fall what will?
I definitely try not to change his routine, but I am more aware of, you know, like the weather conditions. Like normally I don't care if they go out in the rain, but coming up, you know, if we've had, like today we've had a ton of rain, I'm like, he ain't going out, it's too slippery. you know, so things like that I definitely am aware of. And but also, you know, obviously we have multiple horses here. I'm sort of more definite with the staff. Like, I don't want his field changed. He obviously has his own stall, but, you know, I don't want anything going in or out of his stall. Like, that's his stall, and not to double up on horses. And, I mean, obviously right now for us, one of the biggest things is, you know, making sure there's no cross-contamination with horses coming in and going for drugs and stuff like that. And so, you know, making sure my FEI horses are all in their own stalls and not getting switched around is very important. But for him personally, you know, the more turnout he gets, the better. So I, you know, unless it's like I say, today it was crazy today. we had like 3 flash flood warnings, so obviously he did not go out. But then, you know, I'll hand graze him and log in time this afternoon, you know, just to try and make up for it. So,
and for you, Emma, going to a team event like this, and you've done so many now, what does it mean to you in your career? Do you get to the point where you're thinking, oh, this is just another one with a different horse on a different team? Or how do you personally feel about being a team player and being on Team USA?
All I can say is I love it. I, you know, even though some of the results may not have been what we've wanted, and obviously we had the one amazing result, but it's even just the friendships you build, and it's just always an exciting time. And, you know, the team behind the team is always amazing. And just the experience of the whole championship, you know, I always say sort of, you know, especially the Worlds, and being able to go into the, you know, your hand grazing, and you had, I think last time, you know, Vallegro was next to us and we're chatting away, and, you know, I said, it's always a time for learning because there's all the other disciplines there. And so I never take any of that for granted and enjoy meeting all those different people and learning from them. And then, you know, if we can, I mean, the pressure of bringing, I always feel a home competition is always bigger pressure of doing well. And ultimately, you know, I do feel luck has to come with it. Like, obviously we do as much best we can to get those horses there sound and fit and, you know, best in their mind. But sometimes you need a bit of luck.
And are you superstitious? Is there anything that you do at a big event?
No, I'm not actually.
You're not?
No,
okay.
No, not superstitious.
Do you have any routines that, heaven forbid, anyone should get in the way of those routines on the big day?
Not that I know of.
Maybe I should ask Philip that one.
But I was going to going to say, like, I'm like thinking maybe you need to ask the grooms. I'm trying to think. The other Shannon could probably tell you one or two times. But no, I don't think so. Like, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is being able to keep the barn quiet. And obviously everybody's so excited, but you do, you know, you like the horses to have their downtime. And I guess that's one of the things, like, it's great having the one horse, but you don't want to be on them all day, every day. So making sure that we walk away from them for, you know, 1 to 3 hours just to let them be and not be poking and prodding at them. So yeah, I get, I would say that is one thing that, you know, I get annoyed with if I'm like, you know, come back for an hour and someone's, you know, said, oh, we just wanted to go and do the massage or something. I'm like, oh, this is their downtime.
So you're very protective of your horses, Emma, are you? Do you feel that you are, or do you feel that you get like super protective at the big events?
I guess you become more aware of the small things that maybe we should be aware of at home, but we're not, you know. You know, just silly things like, you know, whether you're walking past a mare with your horse or is it a stallion, and you know, you start to question yourself, well, how's that horse behaving ahead of you? Is that, should I not pass it, or do I pass it when you're at hand grazing and stuff like that? So we're definitely protective that way, you know. I wouldn't say I'm over protective. Again, someone might have a different opinion.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask someone else, but yeah, just doing your job and obviously doing it very, very well. When you look at all the competitions that you've been to, all the championship events now I'm talking about, Emma, do you have any standout favourites, or do they all have their moments?
Well, obviously Rio's, you know, going to be at the top of the, you know, list, undoubtedly, for the result. But I think I can honestly say, like, each championship, you always come home with a different story. So, you know, some memory that happened, you know, whether it was just the grooms having a good night out, or you know, Boyd telling one of his stories, or so I would say my first championship too, I was in Arkin in 2006 when Philip was still with Australia. I mean, I think that will always be one of the standout ones for me, you know, just because for me that was the huge eye-opener. I didn't really realise what it was all about until I went there.
Yeah, you get a good sense of what a multiple discipline event looks like when you go to Arkin.
Yes. No, it's a phenomenal facility there.
Well, it's just a few weeks to go then, Emma, and hopefully your trip to Bromont will be successful. I know it was easier to catch up with you this side of it than try and bother you afterwards, but I know all fingers are crossed that everything goes well this week. So safe travels up to Canada and back, and then, of course, down to Bromont, and we will catch up with you down there. So thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the programme, and the very best of luck with Z.
Thank you so much.
Boyd Martin will be representing the US once again, and this time he's going to be riding Christine Turner's 11-year-old Tracana gelding, Zetterleg. I caught up with Boyd just before he left for Bromont. Always good to catch up with you, and I know it's a final countdown now to the World Equestrian Games. Do you start to get excited at any point, or do you just get nervous with anticipation of, gosh, we've only got a few more weeks, got to keep him in one piece, final mandatory outing? How do you process this?
To be perfectly honest, Chris, it's a grueling process. It's everyone thinks it's glamorous and getting ready for these championships, but it's not the funnest process, to be honest. It's a lot of pressure. You really want to make sure your horse is going well. You know, every time you jump it or gallop it, you're terrified that you're going to hurt it, and every time you perform at a lead-up event, you know, you're under a lot of scrutiny. So it's a tough process, mate, but I've been through it before. It's familiar for me, and I'm lucky that my horse is in good shape at the moment. So, fingers crossed, everything's looking good.
And how is he going, right? You say he's looking good. Is he in good shape? In terms of fitness, what would you need to put on him now, between now and try on then, Boyd?
Well, there's been a lot of rumours circulating how tough the conditions are going to be, so I've really tried to get him very, very fit early in the preparation, and so that I don't have to scramble at the end. And I had him pretty fit for Kentucky, and then you know, had a bit of a layoff then, and I sort of got stuck into him and early, and you know, but galloping him every sort of 4 or 5 days, and then I've been swimming him on the alternate 4 or 5 days, and then doing this aqua tread a bit on him, and I got him as fit as he can be, and you know, he's a great galloper and a tough horse, and he's a trainer bred horse. But yeah, like, to be honest, mate, you just you try as hard as you can to get him as fit as you can without hurting him. So it's a fine line, you know. If you under prepare, you turn up, but it'll show up on the cross country day at the championship. So you know, really, really doing everything I can to make sure this horse is fit as he's ever been.
Now, you've had him, what, 3 years? This will be your third season with him, won't it? What have you learnt from him? What has he told you about him or himself, and what he needs for the big events? Because you've done the 1 4-star now, but you've done a few 3-stars. How has that partnership evolved? Talk about how you've emerged as a combination, as a partnership, Boyd, and what you've learnt from him.
I mean, to be quite frank with you, Chris, at the beginning, I didn't think much of him. I thought he was a bit of a dud. When he turned up, he just looked like a pony, and his record wasn't that good. You know, he'd sort of done a few prelims and intermediates, sort of with mediocre success. And so, to be honest, the first couple of months, I rode him, but he didn't. Now, you know, he didn't set the world on fire. Where I started getting excited about him was, he's a funny animal. Like, you take him to a competition or a show, and holy moly, he changes for the better. Like, he really, all of a sudden, just lifts the gear. And for a horse that doesn't, you know, overexert himself in his training, he comes to the show and he's a completely different animal. So that's a wonderful trait to have in a horse, and he's a wonderful competitor. And the turning point for me was probably last October. I rode him around Fairhill CCI 3-star, and for anyone that knows a 3-day event, that's a huge event. I'd almost call it a 3.5-star. It's a big long hill. It's a big, tough, grueling cross-country course, and he nearly won it, and he did it easily too. You know, like, usually towards the end of those sort of courses, the horses start showing their true colours. And towards the end of that track, he was still trying. And from that moment on, I knew I had a big time horse. I knew he was a 4-star horse. I knew he was a gutsy trier. And from that moment on, I treated him as a championship horse. So, you know, and I'd say from that point on, we really started to click as a partnership. And I think he's going to be with me for, I think he's got plenty left in the tank too. He's a sound horse, he's a young horse, and he's got a terrific owner and support group. He's owned by Chris Turner, who's been a wonderful backer for me, and we've got a big future ahead of us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the ownership, because obviously it's critical and it's key to any partnership that you have, Boyd, and you've been lucky to have some wonderful owners. And Chris Turner came along for this horse. How involved is she?
She's a wonderful lady, Chris, and I know she wouldn't mind me saying, but I think we both get along with each other really well, because we're both a bit wacky. She's, you know, I love her personality. She's a Texan through and through, and she's not afraid to show it. And I love that about her. She's very passionate about her horses. She'll tell you exactly what she thinks, and I love that too. And you know, she's a huge believer in this horse, Sesterleg. She loves this horse. Probably about the same as she loves her own daughter, and she's believed in this animal from day one, and it's been a wonderful journey for me just to watch someone enjoy the process. She's right there every step of the way. She comes to a lot of these events, and I don't know, she's just she's a great lady. She's very, very supportive. When things go well, she's there to have a drink with you, and if things go bad, she's the first one to pat you on the back and say, come on, let's keep cracking on. So I'm very, very pleased for her and her family. They're great supporters of eventing. They've been great supporters of many riders along the road, and great for the US team. And she was a part of my Olympic course, Blackfoot Mystery. And then it's been good for her as well. This horse, I think she bought it as a 3 or 4 year old, and supported the horse through its whole career. And to have a horse representing the country from to start with it from a very young age is a huge achievement. And very, very pleased for her.
Well, you mentioned there, because you've got obviously team experience now, you've got a couple of Olympics under your belt, a couple of World Equestrian Games, highest placed rider at those WEGs as well for the US team. What does this one mean to you, being on your adopted home soil, Boyd? Why would this be different? And what have you learnt from being on the team at those other WEGs, not just the Olympic Games, but the WEGs particularly, because they are different, and that will help you as a rider going into this championship?
It's a good question. I mean, I think I personally thrive on this moment. You know, it's to ride at a championship's a huge thing, and it's a huge pressure, and you know, you're faced with the best horses and the riders in the world, and every time it's the fiercest course, and I think it does one of two things to you. It makes a rider crumble and fall apart, or it makes a rider get strong and powerful and unbreakable. And I'd like to think that under this moment that I get better and better. And you know, I've got an amazing self-belief with not just my riding, but this particular horse. And I take it very, very seriously. This is not just any event. No stones left unturned. And, I've sort of going with the mindset of just giving my absolute all. And if I fail at this event, it's going to not be through lack of trying or lack of giving everything I've got. So, I've dedicated my life to this sort of moment, and, you know, moved country and sacrificed a lot of things in my life to do this. And it's a very pleasing and proud moment when you get the call up. And by saying that, you know, it's not just about riding at the event. It's about, you know, going and giving a personal best at the event. I mean, if you can walk home or fly home after the event saying, I couldn't have done anything better, then I think you sleep easy. If you come up short, it will haunt you, and you'll wake up in the middle of the night for the next 4 years.
Or beyond. Sometimes it lives with you for life, doesn't it? and I'm thinking now, you know, with you having got it, with you having got into the 20s with him for his dressage, what would be your realistic expectations with, given the form he's on right now, Boyd? What are you hoping for?
It's a tough one, actually. I mean, I got asked that by our coach Eric Devander yesterday. He was helping me, and I really hadn't thought of it like that. You know, I think my horse is probably the greenest horse on the team, or maybe Phillips as well. We're about on par. I don't know. Like, there's something inside of me that is going to surprise everyone. I think this horse is blossoming. He's improving every day we ride him, and I think my goal would be to finish in the top eight individually and to be a part of an American team medal. That would be what my vision is.
Now, you've ridden around this course, well, not this course, obviously, but the Tryon track before, Boyd, and you were down there for the test event as well. What do you like about this track, or what do you find most challenging about it? What do you know so far?
It's a weird cross-country course because it used to be on a golf course. So the cross-country is sort of undulating. It's mounds and humps and lumps, if you think of a golf course, with bunkers and fairways. And so it's hard to I don't know how to say it. Like, it's hard to get a real good galloping distance to a lot of the jumps, like, just because as you come into the jump, there's a bit of a dip or a mound in, right in your way. So it takes a specific type of riding. I think, like you said earlier, the end of the course apparently is going to be a big long hill, and so you're going to have a plenty of gas in the tank, and I think you've got to, you know, you've got to ride really smart, but then you've got to ride to the limit on your horse, especially in the last 3 minutes, and know how much to push and use up your horse in the first half of the course that you have got just enough in the tank to finish it off.
Well, I'm bound to ask you, because I know this happens when a woman has a child. Sometimes they feel a little bit differently being a parent about how they ride and where they, you know, where they go and put their life on the line for whatever sport it may be. Now that you're a dad a second time over, you've got another baby at home, has that in any way changed your perspective as an athlete and as a man towards your sport?
To be honest, no. I mean, I don't think this is a dangerous sport if you prepare your horse and you train correctly and you ride well. I think it's probably just as dangerous as any other sport. At the same time, riding at a big championship or a big four-star, for me, I'm quite happy with the idea of getting injured. I think that just comes with the territory. And if something terribly goes wrong, I'm quite comfortable with the idea and actually looking forward to a bit of a vacation and a bit of a downtime if I get bashed up. So it's to be honest, that I've got no fear or no worry about self-harm. And I think you've got to have that mentality when you're in the start box about the face with 32 fences of 5-foot dimensions and riding an animal at high speeds at fixed obstacles.
Yeah, I think that speaks to who you are. You just get on with the job in hand, and what will be will be. You give it your best shot. That's always been your modus operandi, isn't it, Boyd? And I'm thinking, going into these championships now that you've done a few, and obviously we hope that there'll be a lot more to come, but with this one being at home, are there any? Is this going to be a particularly special moment? How are you feeling about going into this one?
To be honest, I block all that out. You know, any four-star or championship, I give my all. It's not like I could try harder at this one than I did the last one. You know, I'd give 100% in the preparation and at the competition. And you've got to be careful getting too emotional, starting to think about all your friends and family and fellow Americans cheering you on, and have tunnel vision and you know, the contest's the same. It doesn't matter if it's in Tryon, Normandy, Kentucky or Arkin. You've got a dressage test, which is in a 20x60 arena, a cross-country course over 3 or 4 miles, and a 1.30 meter show jumping course, you know, and try and sort of block everything else out. And when it's over, enjoy a cold beer and look back and enjoy the moment.
Yeah, will Silver be down there? And what about your boys?
I don't know, probably not. A new kid's still in, he's premature by 2 months, so he's still in hospital, I think. So it's a bit of a juggling act at the moment. He's still in the ICU at University of Pennsylvania, so poor old Silver's. And myself at the moment is just bouncing around from the farm to the hospital, and so we're just going to leave that decision till closer. I would hope that Silver can sort of jet down for a couple of days, but we'll just see how everything unfolds.
Absolutely. All right. Well, what are your expectations then this weekend going up to Bromont? What do you hope for? Just go quietly round, not worry about the time, just fine tune everything.
I want to give him a good run and a good blast. So we've got to get him blowing and breathing hard. He needs a real good ride at all the accuracy fences. I'm going to just take my time. And then I've got to try, and I think I'm going to come out of the start and just try and get him really settled over the first 3 or 4 fences. That's where my guy gets a little bit fresh and wild. So I think if I go out too quick, he'll be worse at Tryon. So I've just got to try and keep him chill at the beginning of the course and relax. But then I also don't want to go around like a big wimp. You know, it's a bit of a fitness run and a bit of a chance for me to gallop in at speed at two big fences. So I'm going to run him at about 80%, Chris. I'm going to finish with, I reckon, 8 time penalties. And he's going to do a beautiful dressage test and a clear round show jumping. That's my prediction.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we'll be following that, of course, and all the way to Wegg, and we'll catch up with you there, Boyd. So the very best of luck this final week's preparation, and thanks for taking the time to come on the program.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate all the support, from especially from all the Americans over here, and it's going to be a hell of a contest down there in Tryon. And as one of the riders, I really, really appreciate how the country really gets behind us, and I think we're in a place where we could surprise a lot of people. So next month's going to be rough, and not rough, but pressure and a lot of hard work and energy, not just by the riders, the grooms, the coaches, the management, owners, and then it's crunch time, Chris, and it will be what it will be.
Absolutely. All right, well, the best of luck, and we'll see you down there. Thanks for coming on the show, Boyd.
Super. Thank you for having me, Chris.
And a reminder that the FEI World Equestrian Games taking place at the Tryon International Equestrian Centre in North Carolina. It begins with the opening ceremony on the evening of the 11th, followed by the eventing competition that week. And there will be extensive coverage of the World Equestrian Games on the NBC Sports Network. And continuing our series of previews for the games, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And we'll also be talking to some of the winners from the AECs. That's in 2 weeks' time here on the USEA's official podcast. Until then, don't forget to follow us on social media. Just look for US Eventing. And if you prefer to listen to the show on the go, you can download it from the iTunes store and put it in your pocket. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.